ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. Time to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. What's going on, fellas?
Not a lot, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, TD, the Stephon Diggs trade from Buffalo to Houston this week, obviously generating a lot of noise. What do you make of that deal, number one, for Houston? And number two, with all the moves the Texans have made this offseason, where do you have them in the AFC right now based on moves still yet to be made with the draft coming up?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a top three team. I don't think that that's a hard thing to conclude to. To be honest with you, obviously the Chiefs and Ravens are there. But the Texans are right there, man. This is a good move for them. And I know a lot of Titans fans are doing a lot of mental gymnastics to make themselves believe that this isn't a good deal. But the fact of the matter is it is. And obviously there have been issues in other places for Stephon Diggs. But I think if he gets there and he has the right mindset and the way that they did the contract, where they squashed the remaining years, and this is the final year of it, they're going to get him at his best. But, you know, you really shouldn't have to do all that to get somebody at their best, right? I think change of scenery would be good for him, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask you, TD, is what you make of that, because now it becomes this kind of like prove-it year for him. And, yeah, I mean, I think obviously with a lot of people, prove-it year turns out to be – you know, maximize performance. But also, if he does have this great year and you're the Texans, now you don't have control. I was a bit stunned to see that. What do you make of that?
Yeah, this is equivalent to the guy at the poker table putting every chip he has into the middle and betting on the hand that he has. I mean, that's essentially what they're doing. And yeah, it's pretty cool to see, but I know if I was a Texans fan, man, I wouldn't be too happy about it, just that part of it. I would be happy that my team got him, but it's 1 year, like you said, and then he'll be 31 years old, and you'll be stuck with a decision to make. Should I do a 3-year big-time deal, or do I move on? And I don't know that I would have done that.
TD, you know, obviously now that we have a little bit more information as to what the Titans roster is going to look like, and still with the draft to be determined, but you assume a left tackle is coming at some point here. They've got Tony Pollard. They've got Tajay Spears. And Brian Callahan is a first-time play caller, obviously a first-time head coach. How much more, in terms of quantity, do you think the Titans are going to throw the football this year and really lean into the passing attack as opposed to what they did under Vrabel with Derrick Henry? Like, do you think it's going to be a dramatic difference? Do you think it's going to be just a slight difference? Like, how much more of a passing, I guess, leaning on the passing attack do you think we're going to see from Brian Callahan?
You know, I tell you what, you started to see them pass the ball a little bit more when Levis was the quarterback. So I think it's going to be a progression of that. I would say probably like a 60-40, 70-30 mix of pass versus run. Remember, when Brian Callahan was there with the Bengals, you know, obviously he wasn't calling the plays, but he was a part of the structure, a part of the getting the game plan together. And Joe Mixon, right, in what, 4 out of the 5 years, he had at least 210 carries. So running the ball isn't foreign to Brian Callahan. They're still going to do it, but I don't think it's going to be like that ground and pound exotic smash mouth that we've seen here in Nashville over the last, you know, 8 to 9 to 10 years.
So TD, I saw your series of tweets, and it's funny because we talked a little bit about this week, but I want to bring it up again. You had a series of tweets with some Olufashinu film, and I think it was him against Michigan here, and it is really interesting. I know that this happens every year, but it's like you tweeted, you're like, Olufashinu, surefire top 10 pick, and in your opinion, like the value remains, there's separation, but maybe not nearly the separation, maybe something between him and Alt or him and others. But like this is where I it also drives me crazy, because like it's just like basically mock drafts, right? Like mock drafts put him at 16. Here's one that puts him at 17. So it's like, what happened? You know, did something like, is there a medical thing people found or whatever? But I mean, Why do you think it appears that some people are more down on him and some of the other guys have elevated? And how big – let's just take Alt and Fashanu. How big of a gap is there?
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing that I posted was 2 months ago he was a surefire top 10 pick. That 2 months
right,
ago
right.
part is important. And that validates, you know, this conversation that we're having, because now he's being looked upon as like, oh, wait a minute, he's not the second best tackle in the draft. You got Waga, you got Latham, you got Mims, Valtant, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it's a case of prospect fatigue, and it's what happens with guys like Olu, guys like Marvin Harrison Jr., where they're so good for so long, you begin to look for things. So you know no prospect is perfect, right? So you start to look for things and nitpick. And honestly, I caught myself doing that watching the Ohio State film. I almost caught myself watching this Michigan game where you're like, oh, well, he lunges too much. You know what? You like to see him. No, he's a good player, and he's a really good prospect. I don't know that I will put him right there on par with Joe Alt. I think there's definitely separation there, and you can really see that if you watch the Joe Alt game and then you turn around and watch Olu, because that's what I did last night. I said, let me have the same lens and look at both of them. I'm like, yeah, it's clearly different. And the thing with Alt that's so magnificent is this dude's footwork at 6'9". His footwork is ridiculous. And it's something that I picked up yesterday watching him. So there's a difference. There's a separation. But I think Olu was right there, the leader of the pack, as far as all the guys after Joe Alt.
TD, do you think teams do that? Do you think sometimes they have too much information where it almost is overbearing at times and they end up making bad decisions because of it?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, these – team personnel people are just that, people too, right? And so you could be susceptible to those types of things, prospect fatigue, et cetera. But that's the good thing about having a team of guys that you watch film with, to where you're like, oh, yeah, he was leaning on that. Yeah, but you know what? Watch this next rep where he drives the defensive lineman to the turf. You know what I mean? So you're kind of going back and forth, and then you sit down as a group and have that conversation. And I think that avoids that whole idea of prospect fatigue.
And, of course, with the O-line, with the Titans, you hope that just like Bill Callahan's evaluation is such a benefit before they even get to the coaching part of it. All right, I want to go back to Diggs, TD. A couple questions. One from Kyle in Shelbyville. It's just an interesting question, which is, who do you think has a better season, DeAndre Hopkins or Stephon Diggs? But also, what do you think the Bills, how do you think they're going to react? Are they good where they are? Do you think they're going to make a real strong push to get high in this draft?
Oh, well, I know the Bills, they really like Keon Coleman. They've been high on him since the combine. That's one thing I know for sure. So, you know, where they pick, Keon Coleman will likely be on the board. So they may not have to move up. But not having Diggs, you know, you might want to look at one of those guys and see, can you move up 20 or so spots? I don't know if they'll be able to do that. Because even getting one of those guys, they're not that one guy away. As far as who would have a better year, Diggs or Hopkins, man, that's a really good question. That's one that, I'll have to think about. I'm going to say Hopkins, because I just think, you know, you look at how, like, that last stretch of the year, he was very consistent, whereas you had Diggs kind of disappearing at times. So I'm going to go Hopkins. And plus, you know what? Hopkins doesn't have to face LeJarius Sneed twice a year, so that'll be in his favor.
Yep, no question about that. TD, last thing for you here. You know, it wasn't that long ago we were talking about the AFC South being the doldrums of the NFL and the worst division in the league. And right now, TD, like I'm struggling to think of many, many divisions that are more intriguing than this one when you factor in Levis and Anthony Richardson and now what the Texans have done, Jacksonville loading up this offseason as well. What's your take on the division and just, I guess, the intrigue factor heading into this next season?
You know what? It's kind of taken over from the AFC West, right? You look at AFC West is the Chiefs and, like, everybody else, right? But you look at the Chargers, you know, they're in the mix. But you know what Justin Herbert does. He turns it over late, and that loses the game for them. But you look at the South, man, it's a young guns, right? It's all the young quarterbacks. And now, you're having a bunch of teams that are on the up and up. And I think, you know, if the Colts can get it together, right, and get – Anthony Richardson in the mix with some of those weapons that they have, I think it's going to be competitive. But I really like the way the Titans, Texans, and Jaguars all went out, and they invested in some pretty high-profile players, and it's going to be fun watching all that. I believe it's going to be good for business.
Well, TD, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us, and tell us about our friends at ESPN Bet Sportsbook.
Oh, you already know, man. ESPN Bet, man. We're ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. It's the exclusive sportsbook of ESPN, and it has it all, whether it be offers and promotions from Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith, from the playoff intensity to getting on the links and out to the ballpark. There's no better time to be a sports fan than right now. And as a new user, you get $100 in bonus bets, and that's when you make any sportsbook bet. So download ESPN Bet today. It's quite a play. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee. For problem gambling support, call or text the TN Red Line at 800-889-9789. Terms and conditions will apply. All the apps are right there on the details.
Great stuff from TD as always. We'll take your thoughts on what he had to say. Get back into the Preds. Their big win last night against the Blues as well. Coming up next, you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.